I get going, we're gonna watch a little video, which is gonna serve as a bit of an intro to the new series that we're in. So let's play our vid.
It isn't only in Britain that spring this year has taken everyone by surprise. Here, in the Ticino, on the borders of Switzerland and Italy, the slopes overlooking Lake Lugano have already burst into flower, at least a fortnight earlier than usual. But what, you may ask, has the early and welcome arrival of bees and blossom to do with food? Well, it's simply that the past winter, one of the mildest in living memory, has had its effect in other ways as well. Most important of all, it's resulted in an exceptionally heavy spaghetti crop. The last 2 weeks of March are an anxious time for the spaghetti farmer. There's always the chance of a late frost, which, while not entirely ruining the crop, generally impairs the flavour and makes it difficult for him to obtain top prices in world markets. But now these dangers are over, and the spaghetti harvest goes forward. Spaghetti cultivation here in Switzerland is not, of course, carried out on anything like the tremendous scale of the Italian industry. Many of you, I'm sure, will have seen pictures of the vast spaghetti plantations in the Po Valley. For the Swiss, however, it tends to be more of a family affair. Another reason why this may be a bumper year lies in the virtual disappearance of the spaghetti weevil, the tiny creature whose depredations have caused much concern in the past. After picking, the spaghetti is laid out to dry in the warm alpine sun. Many people are often puzzled by the fact that spaghetti is produced at such uniform length, but this is the result of many years of patient endeavor by plant breeders who've succeeded in producing the perfect spaghetti. And now the harvest is marked by a traditional meal. Toasts to the new crop are drunk in these boccalinos, and then the waiters enter bearing the ceremonial dish, and it is, of course, spaghetti. Picked earlier in the day, dried in the sun, and so brought fresh from garden to table at the very peak of condition. For those who love this dish, there's nothing like real homegrown spaghetti.
If you want to visit Switzerland, there you go. So that was a little clip from before I was born, from the BBC on April the 1st. It's not true, in case you were concerned. It was an April's Fool. So we are starting a new series today, which is all around living life from the overflow. We've spent a lot of the year that we've been in, the year of growth, looking at sort of internal connection with God, the internal reality of our relationship with God being primarily, first and foremost, our heart, the unseen, the internal realm. That we don't want to focus on the fruit, but we want to focus on the roots, our internal reality. And it brings up the question of, okay, that's great, but how does that translate into what we do when we're thinking about sharing our faith, or we're thinking about how do we impact the world around us? How does these things relate? And I picked this passage from James because he uses an analogy that we've sort of talked about throughout the year. So look with me down at verse 11 and 12. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives? Can any tree bear spaghetti, or a grapevine bear figs? The point being that James is trying to say is, he says that your internal reality isn't different from what you do with your hands. He's talking specifically in this chapter about words, what we say, but the principle is the same. If we think about John 15, where Jesus says, if you remain in me, you will bear good fruit, because where you're planted dictates the fruit that you will bear. Your internal reality works its way out into what we do and say, how we act. There is meant to be a clean flow, a straight path from our heart to our outsides. And that's really important, I think, when we come to the idea of how we share our faith. Because sometimes we disconnect our journey with God with the message that we present. We don't think that maybe the thing that we're in right now in our faith journey... Phil nearly dropped his Bible there. He was absolutely amazed by that point, weren't you? It's okay, Phil. It's okay. Let it go, bro. but then pick it up and keep your place. So that's really thrown me, actually. My own fault. So, yeah. Yeah, we disconnect our current walk with God within our presentation of the gospel. We think that actually what we need to do is present a perfect picture of Christianity to people to try and attract them to faith. But actually, whatever's going on internally is meant to be presented externally. And I want to say to us today, as we think about the overflow, living life from this internal connection with God, is that God is asking you and me to be consistently transparent, to share exactly who we are, what we're going through, where we're at with the people around us. Not trying to shade or hide things from them, but just being honest. Because the truth of the story is that if our lives are orientated around God, if we're genuinely walking life, connected with Him, following His leadership, wanting every part of life to be orientated around Him, then when people say, "How are you today?" or "What's going on with you?" or "What do you think about this?" slowly but surely, the God narrative will be shared, not because we're trying to drop hooks in conversation, because it's us being transparent with who we are. Because it's just normal. It's just us. And we can find that bearing surprising fruit in other people, that us just sharing the normality of our story can actually bring the best out in other people. I remember a couple of years ago, I was away on holiday with some friends. It was actually an orchestra tour, which maybe that's not a holiday, but, you know, in Barcelona, so that's good. I was with a friend called Dave, and we were coming back from, a restaurant or a bar or something, and I left my sunglasses at the restaurant, and me and him had gone ahead on the train, and I was bummed out. And Dave's one of my best friends, but he doesn't follow God, and I was bummed out. I was thinking, these sunglasses used to be my dad's, you know, I really liked them. It's like the family heirloom. I was exaggerating, and Dave turns to me and goes, "Well, why don't you pray and ask God that someone will remember and bring them?" And I said, "Well, I mean, I'll do that. Thinking, what's going on with Dave? You know. Anyway, I prayed, and sure enough, someone had picked them up and bought them, and you just think, well, that's amazing. And it wasn't necessarily related to a gospel opportunity or something like that, but it came from just being honest and sharing. And I think it's really important that we re-understand mission on the fact that we are God's tools. Our responsibility is to allow Him to use us. Our responsibility is to not do His job for Him. God is more passionate to communicate Himself to everybody. God is more passionate to form a relationship, a restored relationship with all of humanity than you or I can ever be. He is streets ahead of us with that kind of passion and desire. His job, His desire, His authority, His power is to show people Himself, restore them to original design, and to help them live the life that they were designed to live. Our responsibility is to steward ourselves and to be fully transparent, allowing God to display His glory through us. So I want to ask mainly two questions this evening. I'm not going to be talking for long. And the first question I want us to ask is, if we think about being transparent in all of life, if we think actually, okay, if mission is life, which is something that Chris has taught us this year, and we're in work, or we're out for drinks with our friends, or, you know, you name the scene, you picture it, on the allotment with our allotment buddy, I don't know where you might be. And we never find ourselves thinking about what God's teaching us in that space. We never think about, God's just not in that space. And so the idea of being transparent, well, if we're transparent in that environment, we're never going to share God. Now, the issue there is not that you need to suddenly switch it on and throw a God conversation in to try and, you know, turn things around. The issue there is God is not involved in that part of your life. That your life doesn't orientate around God in that environment. So the issue isn't that we don't have the right tools to share the gospel. The reality is that we're not connected with God in all of life. And so we need to work out, okay, God, how do I connect you in every place I am? And that's not something that we need to shame ourselves with and go, oh, I'm not doing well enough. It's actually just a question to go to God and say, God, why don't I want to connect with you here? Why don't I find it easy to sort of just be aware of your voice and to ask questions to you in this environment? Why do I put a barrier between my private life and my work life? why do I do that, God? Help me to understand. If my life finds meaning when I'm completely orientated around you, when my purpose is caught up in you, when everything I have is yours, when I live life in unbroken communion with you, why don't I want to do that in this moment of my life? Because when we realize when we're not sharing God, sometimes it's a deep ministry to ourselves because we're just living life disconnected. And the call to be transparent is really a call to be continually connected with him so that we can be used by him. So I wanted to lay that out and say, does your life really orientate around God? And don't be sort of knocking yourselves down as we realize that, because ultimately that's sort of the journey we're always on, isn't it? It's reconnecting with God in all areas of life, growing in our passion, in our communion with him. But ask him to grow your passion. Ask him to show himself to you in all areas of your life. Keep asking him to connect with you where you are. Just keep asking, just keep asking, just keep asking. Because God wants us to thrive, as we've talked so many times this year. And so God wants you to thrive in every aspect of life, and we thrive when we are in him, when we're connected with him. So it's a question of thriving, not about doing right or wrong. It's about thriving. So that's the first question I want to ask you. I won't repeat it. The second thing is that sometimes I think we actually hold ourselves back from being transparent, cloaking it in wisdom when actually it's folly. What I mean by that is, I'll give you a good example. So I hope it's a good example. You can be the judge of that. Although Paul says, don't judge anyone, leave that to God, so maybe don't judge me. So I work part-time for an education charity, and then I volunteer here part-time, and it's a 50-50 split, 2.5 days a week, 2.5 days a week. And for a while, I found myself, when people asked me what I did for work, I would say, well, I work at this education charity 2.5 days a week, and then I volunteer for another charity 2.5 days a week. And what I began to realize was that I was basically just like hiding the truth. I was just not being transparent because I didn't want people to sort of think I was odd for giving so much time to church and not taking my career seriously and blah, 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 blah. And so for me, it was a question of going, right, this is not necessarily just a missional change I need to make in my life. This is a wholeness change I need to make in my life. I'm just hiding the truth. I'm just not being honest with the people around me. So I got to change that. So now when people say, most people say, sometimes I still hide it, but we're working on it. When they say, what do you do? I say, well, I work part-time and I volunteer part-time at a church. And you know what? Nobody screamed at me and said, never talk to me again. It's remarkably going well. And I think that is something that we can adopt throughout life. When people are saying, how are you? How's your weekend? Well, Rebecca's brilliant at this, but she just shares how her weekend was. And guess what? We went to church and God spoke to us at church. So we said, yeah, it's really nice because it feels like God's getting our attention at the minute. And some people go, cool. And then you say, how was your weekend? You know? But some people respond and they warm to you a little bit and faith builds trust. It's a remarkable thing. When people see that you're operating in faith, most of the time it builds a level of trust, and I can't really explain it, but it's there. But I think there's a call here to, we don't need more courage. I think we need less fear. I think we need to stopping ourselves from being transparent. I often think when people talk about, you know, responding to the prompts of the Holy Spirit in day-to-day life, and they say, I wish I had courage to say yes to the prompts of the Spirit. I'm saying, I wish I had fear to not stop myself. Because it's not like for me, I feel a prompt and I want to go for it, and then I go, and I stop myself. It's like, I want to take a step forward and I stop myself. The issue isn't that there's not an option to take a step forward. There are plenty of options to take a step forward. The issue is I go, nope, stopping that. I'm going to disconnect. I'm going to stop being transparent. And so that was my second real question for us this evening, is as we look at the overflow, being whole people, not divided but connected, the inner reality of God working on our hearts, bubbling out and over into our conversation. And before we break down and allow you to reflect on the scripture, I want to massively, loudly tell you that God uses what we bring and where we are. He's not waiting for a perfect faith to build on. Simon Peter is just a beautiful example of this, that Jesus says to him, 1 minute, I'm going to give you a new name, and I'm going to build the church. And about, in my head, 20 seconds later, he says, get behind me, Satan. to the same guy. Mixed messages. But he hasn't got a perfect faith, and yet Jesus says, I'm going to build my church on you. And so Simon Peter has to learn this journey of being able to offer what he does have, allowing God to use it to grow him, to shape him, to chip away at his character, his insides. But he understands that he's got a call on his life to share, for God to use him to grow, but to share what he has, what God's already given him, to be open with it, to be willing to share it. So if we're here and you wouldn't even describe yourself as a Christian, but you think, do you know what, there's something about God that's just, I don't know, there's something intriguing me. Well, are you honest with people about that, or are you not? If we're in a time in our faith where we feel like God is a million miles away and we just cannot understand what he's doing, are you honest about that with people, or are you not? You don't need to try and protect God's perfection. He can do that. And actually, his perfection is displayed in our vulnerability. So I want you to know that you can be relieved and empowered, that whatever God is doing in your life is the perfect thing, is the most missional thing that you could share right now. That being transparent, allowing God to reach through you and tap on the shoulders of those around you is exactly what the biblical mandate for us is. When Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations, it's not a bolt-on thing that is disconnected from the rest of their walk with God. It's right at the heart of things, because God is missional, so everything he does is there to be shared. We are people designed to create connections, create relationships, so be transparent. So that's all I want to say as an intro to this series. We've got two more weeks, and you'll discover in the next 2 weeks where we're going, which does mean we don't totally know where we're going. So what I wanted to do now is I wanted to give all of us sort of another 10 minutes or so just looking at the passage from James 3 and reading over it. Paul, our vicar, our leader here, he taught us a great tool a number of months ago that we use quite often here, where we are able to reflect over Scripture. We read it once and then we ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, would you grab my attention with something in this Scripture? So we read it again slowly, and then we say, why are you drawing that to my attention? Read it again slowly, and we just have time meditating on a Scripture. So turn in your Bibles to James 3 if you're not already there, and we're looking at verses 9 to 18. And what we'll have is about between 6 and sort of 10 minutes where you just get to reflect on the Scripture in silence, asking God, what are you getting my attention about? And I want you each to just ask him for one thing. And then when you know what he's getting your attention about, say, God, why are you getting my attention about that? Okay? So we've got between 6 and 10 minutes, depending on how fast I see your eyes move for this. Okay, so get reflecting. If you need a Bible, there might be some more around, or if you have it on your phone, then pull it up on your phone. Okay, so your time starts now.
God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time, with no point of reference, you spoke to the dark and fleshed out the wonder of life. And as you speak, stars were made to worship so loud. Speaking vain, no sin.
Okay, brilliant. So hopefully you've all, well, I'm trusting you've all got sort of something that God's getting your attention about. Hopefully you sort of saw the link of the spaghetti tree starting video, which is obviously that a tree bears the fruit that is true to its nature, and so spaghetti trees is a hoax. But what I'd like us to do now is to break into sort of threes and fours, introduce yourselves, but then just to ask, okay, well, what was the one thing that God got your attention about? And then to pray for each other. And if you're not comfortable with praying out loud, absolutely fine. Prayers are just as effective in silence or out loud. So all you need to do is either you can say that to those you're with, or you can just, when it comes to praying, just pray in your head and don't worry, absolutely fine. So let's break into no more than fours. I want everybody involved, so please don't sort of opt out. And just share what's the one thing that God got your attention about. If you didn't feel like anything was highlighted, well, hey, be transparent. I didn't feel like anything was highlighted, and that's fine. Okay, so we've got about 5 or so minutes to do that, so let's not make it a long, protracted thing. Just share what's the one thing, and then let's pray about it. Make sure everybody's involved, so look around you. If there's anyone who's not praying with people or connected, connect with them. Groups of three or four, and let's go from there. Okay? 5 or so minutes. Find his healing, your heart is in shadow. Make sure you get into praying nice and quickly. Don't chat for too long. Get into those prayers.
Lost ever be found? Could a garden come up from this ground at all? You make beautiful things, you make beautiful things out of the dust.
Okay, let's start to bring those prayers to a speedy but natural close. Brilliant. So we'll have an opportunity to worship together again in a minute before we close, and also the opportunity to pray some more, especially around if you sort of feel like out of this evening, God's sort of highlighting the fact that actually your life doesn't orientate around Him in every part of life, that there's a bit of distance, and that can mean that you struggle to sort of share openly what's happening in life because God's just not there. We want to pray with you for that. Or if you struggle just to be honest with people, struggle to be transparent with the reality of who you are, with your values, with what's going on in life. If you sort of, it's just something that can be quite intimidating and quite hard. I wanted to say, obviously, we don't want to get to the point where we're just completely deaf to the Holy Spirit. And when someone says how you are, they get a 20-minute update on the ins and outs of sort of, I don't know, your shoe buying dilemma or something. It's just about allowing the Holy Spirit to prompt you to share something real and honest about what's going on, and just letting it come out in conversation. So we're always framed by God's leadership in these kind of things. We're always just going, okay, God, what do I share here? And often it's very quick. You just know what you need to say, and either we say it or we hold ourselves back. So that's really what we're talking about. So I'm not saying we need to share everything all the time. Rebecca shared a scripture with me from Proverbs 5 that I'll share, and then I'll hand back over to Michael to close us up, which was from, Proverbs 4, and it says this: above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do. Guard your heart, your inner reality, your internal life, because it affects everything you do that pops out, the overflow. Avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. Look straight ahead and fix your eyes on what lies before you. Mark out a straight path for your feet and stick to the path and stay safe. Don't get sidetracked. Keep your feet from following evil. And I feel like as we come to the end of this evening, what we want to do is say, actually, God, this is the way I want to be. I want to be transparent. I'm setting a path straight. That's the way I want to be. And I want to go to you with areas where I don't feel passionate about you, and I want to be open and honest with you and just knock on the door in prayer repeatedly. But let's do that together. Let's just mark a path and say, this is the way I want to be. Okay? Michael and I leave it to you to sort of pick up the pieces.